We're going to read in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, and then one verse in chapter 4. Revelation chapter 1, we're going to read starting with verse number 9. All the way to the end of your Bible, the last book of the Bible, in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. Some call it Revelations, but actually it's a revelation of Jesus. Revelation of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Chapter 1 and verse number 9, if you'll follow along with me here. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience, Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white, like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. After his voice as the sound of many waters, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Chapter 4, just one verse. After this, and the after this is the messages that he received to all those seven churches, was the remaining part of chapter 2 and chapter 3. And then in verse 1 of chapter 4, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. We all know at least a few things about the book of Revelation, and we understand that it is just that. Now, the word revelation here comes from a Greek word, and we have the English word that is used sometimes in books and movies, and that's what has been the apocalypse, the revelation. The word is the word apocalypse, and it doesn't mean a calamity. It doesn't mean a disaster like we've come to understand the word apocalypse to mean. It just means an unveiling or an uncovering. And the book of Revelation is just that. Jesus revealing himself to us, the church, in a greater way, in a mightier way, revealing to us many mysteries that he wants us to see and to hear. In that verse 1 of chapter 4, after all of these messages to the churches, Then he says, and actually when you move into chapter 4, it's actually talking about the coming of the Lord, the rapture of the church. And he says, come up hither. The door of heaven is open. And he said, come up higher. If you'll come up higher, then I'll reveal unto you even greater things. I think all Christians need to come up higher. All Christians need to move up, including me, the preacher, including you, mom and dad, all of us. We need to spiritually move up higher, come up higher. And we have an invitation from the Lord to come up higher, to come into a greater knowledge and understanding of who Jesus is and what he has done and what he is doing in this present age. Amen. You know, he's still working. All the things we read about in the Bible, all the things we've heard about that he's done in the history of the church, he's still moving. He's still working. And these last days, we live in such a wonderful time because we are going to be, and we are, witnessing the uncovering, the unveiling of many wonderful things that are coming to pass right now that no one, even 100 years ago, could even imagine some of the things that are taking place right now in our world. But we're seeing the uncovering, the unveiling of it, the revelation of it through the message of Jesus Christ. Praise God. And so we are always to be learning, growing, coming up higher, drawing nearer to the Lord, learning more about the Lord and understanding that God has so, you know, we never come to the end that we can say, I've learned enough, I know enough. I've been around the church all these many years, served the Lord since I was just a kid, and still yet I'm learning, I'm looking into God's Word, I'm hearing the Word of the Lord, and I'm realizing, God, there's so much, I've just barely even touched the surface of all of the things that you want to reveal to your people and to the church. Amen. So we need to have an open heart. Lord, speak to me. Reveal to me what you want me to know. Help me to move up higher. Give me a higher perspective on what's going on in this world that is around me. But sad to say, many of the things that are going on around us cloud our vision, hinder our ability to see what God is doing. We need to pray and ask the Lord, enlighten my eyes. Open my eyes so that I can see. It says in Psalm 119, verse 18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Amen. Lord, open our eyes so that we can move into what we need to know concerning these last days. We need to know what's going on around us. We need to know what the Bible has to say about things that are happening around us right now. And I do know that if we'll ask the Lord, Lord, open our eyes. Don't let me be clouded by the world and by the philosophy and the thinking of this world. Help me to see things clearly as it relates to these present days that we're living in. You remember the Apostle Paul, who was Saul, and he was destroying the church. He had a zeal to destroy the church. Paul was convinced he was doing God's will by destroying the church and bringing great damage to the message of the gospel and to the ministry of the church. But Paul had to have an encounter. His encounter on the road to Damascus, a bright light shone out of heaven, and then he heard the voice of the Lord speaking to him. Now, he's physically blinded, but he had to be physically blinded before his spiritual eyes could be open. Sometimes it's just exactly that way for you and me. We have to close out all of the things that are around us so that we can see the things that God is wanting us to see. And Paul then on the road to Damascus had a revelation of Jesus, of who he was and what God intended to do in him and through him. That God was going to work in it. He could have never imagined that he was going to be the biggest proponent of the same church that he just a few days before was trying to destroy and murdering Christians and imprisoning Christians. But a new vision, a new insight, and a coming up to a greater understanding caused him to be able to see what God was doing. Praise the Lord. We need our eyes open, folks. We need to be able to see what is happening in these last days. We need to see through all of the mess and the confusion and all the problems of this world and of our nation. We need to see through all of that and see the hand of God. We need to be able to see that God is at work. President Trump's not in control. The Congress is not in control. The Supreme Court's not in control. The governor's not in control. God is the one that's ultimately in control of the affairs of mankind. And we need our eyes open. We don't need to be troubled or worried about things that are happening around us. We need to set our focus upon Jesus. Amen. Amen. Upon the things of the Lord. Lord, give us a revelation today. Give us a revelation of what you are doing and how you want to speak to us. Amen. Whenever God sent Ananias to Paul, Saul, there on the street called Straight, he's blinded. He's been there fasting and praying for 3 days. When he gets there, he tells him to go there and to pray for him. He's afraid of Saul because Saul was a murdering, destroying of the church and the believers. And so he was questioning and somewhat fearful, but the Lord said, no, go. I'm going to show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. I'm doing a revelation to Saul, who's becoming Paul. I'm opening up his eyes. As a matter of fact, it says in verse 18 of chapter 9, he prayed for him, and immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. I'm telling you, he was blinded. All he could see was his own zeal, and he was convinced that what he was doing was right. He just needed a revelation of the plan of God in his life. He just needed to come up a little higher and get a whole new view or perspective on things. Amen. The higher you are, now I have to tell you, personally, one of my greatest fears is height. I don't have a problem with flying. Something about that doesn't really bother me. But heights bother me. I don't like to get up high. If I get up high, I am holding on with all of my might. Whenever I've been on a roof before, helping with, throwing shingles or whatever, it's been a long time since I've done that. But when I did that, they used to call me Spider-Man because I was walking around on the roof, scared to death. I don't like heights. I despise being up real high. Something just sinks deep down into the bottom of the pit of my stomach. Fear when I get high. But I want you to know this. I love the possibility, and whenever God leads me into a greater height and a greater understanding, I'm not afraid of spiritual heights. I want that. I long for that. I desire to move up higher. I desire to understand, to have insight and understanding into the Word of God and the plan of God. I want to get higher in the things of the Lord. And we have an invitation from the Lord, every one of us, to move up higher and to receive this revelation from the Lord. Remember those disciples on the road to Emmaus? They were so defeated and downcast because all they knew was that the one that they were following, Jesus, the Nazarene, that he had been crucified, and they thought it was over, and they're on the road to Emmaus, and they are defeated, they are downcast, and they thought it's over. But suddenly there was a man that appeared walking along the road with them. And they still didn't understand what was going on. Don't you understand what's happened? And it's Jesus, and he's saying to them, what things have happened? What's happened? How Jesus was crucified, and they go through. And then the Bible says that Jesus begins to commune with them. And he begins to explain his word to them. And he begins to preach his own message, the message of the gospel, all the way from the prophets until now. And something starts stirring in them. As a matter of fact, they said, did not our hearts burn within us as we walked with him? By the way, there was something stirring in their heart. They still didn't know who he was when they sat out at the table and broke bread with him. It all came back to them and they recognized, this is him. It's a miracle. He is alive. And they had a revelation of the resurrected Lord that day. Hallelujah.
Amen. The Lord can appear to you. The Lord can bless you and can reveal himself to you in greater ways than you could ever imagine if you determine to step up and to move up higher in the things of the Lord. The book of Revelation is kind of an interesting book, actually a most neglected book. Sadly, it is. But actually, he reveals himself in several ways there, even in this chapter. And I'll go through just a few of these. But he reveals himself in the blessing that he gives to us just in reading it. Just in reading the book of Revelation, verse 3 promises that you are blessed of the Lord. Blessed is he that readeth it and they that hear it. So all of you are being blessed today because you heard me read from Revelation 1 and 4. So according to God's word, you're all blessed of the Lord today because you heard it read. For all those that read it and all that hear it, that hear the words of the prophecy, and those that keep it, those that obey it and keep it in their heart and get a hold of it, there's the promise of the blessing of the Lord. God reveals himself to us in so many ways, even in blessing our lives through the power of his word and the power of the Spirit of God. He also reveals himself in this chapter. He reveals who he is, that he is a God who is not restricted by time, but yet he is in control of time. Amen. God is not a God that's at all restricted by time like we are thinking about, you know, it's 20 minutes until 12. And so people, you know, I've watched people walk out of the service a lot of times on Sunday morning at 12 straight up. It's time to go. It's over. 12 o'clock because we're so affected by time. Amen. Glory to God. We're so affected by it. He's not. But our days and our times and all of these things God is most concerned about. And he's involved in our times. He's involved in August 2018. God's involved in this. God's a part of your life. God's a part of your times and your plans and your life. He's not just distantly out there. He's not disconnected from your life or your problems or your needs. No, he reveals himself right in the middle of your life in your present situation that you're in right now. You might not have thought you'd be in the present situation that you're in a month ago. You never could have dreamed maybe that you're facing some of the things today that you were then. But God knew all about that. God prepared the way. He's in control of your times, and he reveals himself as a God who's involved in our days, our weeks, our hours, our circumstances. Daniel said he changes the times and the seasons, and he reveals himself that way, that they're all in his hands. No surprises when it comes to the things of God. Praise the Lord. He's right in the big middle of it. Amen. Then he says that he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the, of course, those Greek words for the beginning and the end, the first and the last. That's who Jesus is. That he is involved in our everyday life. While he's not restricted by time, he has certain things that are times that are appointed. And one of those times that is, that's like central to the theme of Revelation is the coming of the Lord and the rapture of the church. Amen. The confidence in the fact that we believe that the church age is going to close with a glorious sound of a trumpet, and the saints of God are going to exit this place. Amen. And he reveals himself as the soon coming king. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, meaning the Jews, and all kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come. Glory to God. Things are not out of control in our world. God is in control, and he is revealing his mighty hand and his mighty power in a lot of mysterious and wondrous ways. But we can know about that by stepping up, moving up, and asking the Lord, Lord, reveal yourself to me. Help me to understand your working and your plan in my life. And some of you are going through troubles and sickness and problems, and you're wondering, how in the world could God ever reveal himself through all of this mess that I'm in? But you got to remember where John was at. John, who's receiving this revelation, is on the Isle of Patmos. He's there because of the word and because of the testimony, because of his testimony, simply meaning because he was declaring the gospel, preaching the gospel, and as a result, he was arrested, and he was sent to this little tiny little island of Patmos, which at that time was an island that really was just inhabited with the criminal element. It was a criminal colony that lived there. Now it's kind of a tourist attraction off the coast of Greece, but it's a tiny little island. But then pretty much only prisoners were there. And that's where he's at. That's his circumstance that he finds himself in. He said, I'm your brother and your companion in tribulation. The word tribulation there means pressure. He's saying, I'm here in this pressure situation. I'm living with criminals. I'm living in a situation that's so unpleasant. And in this place called the Isle of Patmos, I'm here because I preached the word. I was just faithful to preach the word of God, to declare the word of the Lord. And so now I'm in this place. He probably spent most of his days working in the mines. It was an island pretty much just very little greenery, almost all just rocks and hills and a miserable place to be, tiny little island that he lived upon. And it was probably the most adverse circumstance that you could imagine, working every day with the criminal element and away from your familiar home and all the things that are dear to you. And it's all because you are faithful to God. You can imagine he is going through it. Some of you today are going through it. You're in tribulation. You're going through problems and trials, and you don't understand why you're in the midst of this situation. Do you understand with me today that God can reveal himself to you right in the middle of your problem? He can do that. Amen. God can reveal himself just as he did to John. He can reveal himself to you in this terrible circumstance that you might be up against today. Ask the Lord, Lord, show me, reveal to me, help me to see you in a greater way, to understand your plan and how you are working, and understand that God can work through and in spite of your trials and your tribulation. Yes. Amen. In the midst of that situation, there he is. He has this mighty, wonderful revelation, this uncovering, this unveiling as the Lord reveals himself to him. Praise God. God is a God who wants to reveal himself to you, and he can do that. And sometimes he chooses to do that through your sorrow and through your pain and through your tribulation and your trial. If you'll put your trust in the Lord can make himself real to you in such a wonderful way. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses. This is Paul speaking. For Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Somehow the Lord is able to turn the situation around and take your trouble and your heartache and all that you're dealing with. When you come to the Lord and just say, Lord, I'm weak. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get out of this problem. What's the answer? Turn yourself completely over to the Lord, and the Lord can take your weakness and turn it into your strength. Praise God. He can do that. Glory to God. So God reveals himself to us in tribulation and trials sometimes. And then the revelation that he received was of the here immediately, this chapter was of those seven churches in Asia. Do you know that God reveals himself to us through the church? Amen. Thank God for the church. This church was shown to be, in his revelation, he said there were these seven golden candlesticks. And those candlesticks represented the light that was shining. And how many times have you come into the house of the Lord down, defeated, hopeless. But by the end of the service, something had changed. The Spirit of God had worked on you. The worship, the prayer, the preaching, or whatever part of the service, it just somehow pulled you out of your trouble. The church sometimes has saved my life. Amen. I've been saved by the church a lot of times. But I could just get into the house of the Lord and get in the presence of the Lord. What a difference it makes. And this revelation to John was just that the church can be a bright revelation of who God is. Amen. Those seven candlesticks. Now, John didn't have a church, but he just said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I don't know what he's doing. He might have been having to work in the mines, or who knows what he might have been suffering, but he just determined, in my heart, in my spirit, in my focus, I'm going to get in the Spirit. I'm going to wait on the Lord. I'm going to worship God. I don't know what he was doing. He might have been singing psalms of praise unto God. He might have been quoting the word of the Lord. I don't know what he was doing, but somehow, in the midst of all of that mess he was in, he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Glory to God. So if you you might not be able to get into the church building, but if you can get in the presence of the Lord, sometimes folks are laying on a hospital bed or they're going through something and they're so overwhelmed with their circumstance, but the Lord is right there to reveal himself to you. Amen. And many times he reveals himself through the church. The Bible says that the revelation that he had was that there was one that's like the Son of Man that was walking among those golden candlesticks. Amen. You know what? You don't want to know where the Lord is at, where he's working? He's working in the church. Amen. He's working in the church. He's just walking up and down the aisles of this church. He's in the hallways of this church. He's down here around the front in this altar area. He's up here with me on this platform this morning. He's with you this morning. He's here in the house of the Lord. The Lord is here. He walks in the church in the midst of those golden candlesticks and reveals himself in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I really like this part because he says that he had in his hands, he held in his hands those stars. Verse 13, in the midst of the seven candlesticks was one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt with about the paps with a golden girdle. And skip on down there to verse 16. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of the mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. Now those seven stars, when you look over at the last verse of this chapter, the mystery is revealed. The seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the angels. And the word there means bishop or pastor. I don't know if you've ever thought of it this way or not, but the Bible calls pastors angels. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. He calls them angels. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And it says that he holds them in his right hand. Glory to God. That's a wonderful place to be. Amen. Now, it's not because the pastor is perfect or has no flaws or weaknesses. Not that at all. It's just because of the calling and the role and the position that God has ordained he holds the pastor at his right hand, and he's walking through those golden candlesticks. That's where Jesus is. He reveals himself in the church, and he reveals himself through pastors and leaders. He does. Isn't it amazing how he can take our weaknesses and our shortcomings and somehow reveal his mighty power, even through pastors and through leadership? Praise God for that. I said the church has saved my life. I've had pastors that have saved my life. I had a pastor that stopped by my house when I was just a teenage boy, maybe 15 years old or 16, I don't know. I was kind of struggling with some things of the world pulling on me, and he stopped by my house and actually called before, and he said, I want to come by and pick you up and take you somewhere. I don't know where we were going. We were going a long ways to get nowhere, probably. But
he wanted to talk to me. And he was caring and compassionate. He was understanding. And he dealt with me and talked to me and he encouraged me and he warned me about some of the things that I was, you know, playing around with in the world. He warned me about those things. I think you saved my life. You saved me. God used him to influence me and to help me. And praise God that God has raised up. There have been times when I've sat under pastors that preach things that literally changed me, helped me, turned the direction of my life. Praise God that God reveals himself in the church and he reveals himself through pastors and through leaders. Glory to God. Thank God for that. There's really too much for me to cover here this morning. But I want to just go real quickly here. Go through just a couple more things here in chapter 14 in verse 1. There's a lot more things that he reveals to us there in chapter 1. But I want to look at that one verse in chapter 4. Not chapter 14, but in chapter 4 of Revelation. And verse number 1. This is where there is the invitation, the open door and the invitation for all of us to come up into the heavenlies, to step up, to move up in our walk with the Lord. I looked, behold, a door was opened in heaven. Do you know that ever since that Jesus died on the cross and the veil of the temple was torn, ever since Jesus ushered in the new covenant, that we have such a wonderful invitation to step up, to move up. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul talked about the fact that we can now be seated with Christ in heavenly places. We now have a place reserved for us in heavenly places. So we can move up. We can move into a higher perspective in the things of the Spirit of God so that we can see and understand and have such better insight into what God is saying and doing. The door is open. The heavenlies are open and available to all of us. And now we can see things from heaven's point of view. The more that you enter into the things of God, the invitation is, come on up. Get closer to me. Draw near to me. Get in my word. Draw nearer to me. If you will, I'll draw nigh to you. If you will draw nigh to me, come up. Get closer to me. I'll reveal myself unto you if you'll draw nearer unto me. Amen. Let me read you Ephesians 2 and 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he may show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Amen. It's a wonderful thing to be seated with Christ in the heavenlies because you get a perspective on the plan of God. You get a perspective on the grace of God and what he's done, how precious your salvation is, how wonderful it is to walk with God and to live for the Lord, how wonderful is his word, how wonderful is the plan of God as it's being played out. And every day of your life, you can be seated with him in the heavenlies, and he's inviting us all, amen, to step up. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. I want to just challenge you today to pray with me. Let's stand together. Could we pray together today and ask the Lord, each one of us individually and then corporately, ask the Lord, Lord, I want a revelation. I want you to show me, reveal to me. Now, it's never going to be outside of the perimeters of God's word. Any revelation that you have, if it's outside of the word of the Lord, it's pretty much worthless. Just get rid of it. Amen. If it contradicts God's word, you're in trouble. But a revelation that confirms the will of God, confirms the things of God, as you move into greater things that he has for you. Oh, he wants to reveal, uncover mysteries and reveal himself to you
amen, as you serve the Lord. And the longer you serve him, the more you're going to know about him. The more you're going to learn about him. Isn't it true? This week, Marsh and I celebrated 42 years of marriage. That's a long time. That's a long time. 42 years. Interesting thing happens when you live with someone that long. You know them. You know them. You know what's important to them. You know a lot of things. Amen. You learn and know each other because you're with them day in and day out, day in and out. You know the things that are important to them, the things that they value, the things that mean the most to them. Amen. Much of that is true also in our walk with the Lord. You serve the Lord and you grow in the knowledge of the Lord. You learn more about him. You learn how to please him. You learn how to live for him. You learn his plan. You learn his will. Hallelujah. As he reveals himself to you again and again and again and again. Glory be to God. Father, thank you that you're a God that's at work every day in our lives. And I thank you, Lord, that you've invited us to step up, to come up higher, to come up, Lord, to gain a higher perspective, to learn, Lord, greater things. I pray, Lord, for everyone in this service today. Some, Lord, that are right now in tribulation and trouble and going through sorrow and heartache, difficulties, pressures. And they don't see how they could ever gain or profit from these things. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that in the midst of John, on John's worst day, Lord, you revealed yourself to him. In his worst circumstance, Lord, you revealed yourself to him in such a glorious way. Hallelujah. So, Lord, I just pray for today for those that are in sickness and trouble and adversity and whatever that they're going through, Lord. I pray, Lord, that they would cry out to you for strength and for help. And Lord, that you would reveal yourself to them, that you would open up the heavens, Lord, and reveal your mighty hand on their behalf today. In Jesus' name. Glory be to God. Amen.